Oh, every clock has a different time on it. Sorry, my computer still says 10:28. My phone says 10:31. So we'll split the difference and I'll call this meeting to order. I would like to start by acknowledging with gratitude that we are meeting today from the traditional lands, unceded territory of the Coast Salish people, and in particular the Qualicum First Nation. And I guess I am the new chair of this committee, and I just wanted to say that I'm very pleased to have this opportunity. Some of you will know I'm quite passionate about our environment, and I think really the essence is about how we blend the natural environment with the built environment, and work towards that. So I will say, personally, I think that maybe this committee is a little underutilized in the town, especially this summer, given the heat domes and the droughts and our experience there. And so when we go into our strategic planning this fall, I would like to advocate for the committee maybe to broaden some of the scope. I know council sets our agenda, but the town has, Bob's well aware, the town has a sustainability plan, and I don't know how many of the committee members are familiar with that. There are targets laid out as far as climate emissions and whatnot. And I would like to see this committee help us advance the town in some of our climate initiatives. So with that, I will welcome everyone, and we'll need a motion for the adoption of the agenda. Oh, Doug, you have a question already.
It's a tiny thing, but there was a little misprint in the. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the agenda's good. I thought you were doing the minutes. Yes, I moved
Oh,
to
okay.
with the agenda. Sorry.
Okay, so Doug moves the approval of the minutes. Do we have a seconder? Was anyone else in attendance? Greg, you'll second that. Great. All those in favor? Great. Okay, so that's carried. Approval of the minutes. And Doug, you had something, a typo or a small?
Yeah, it's just a little tiny thing on page 2 of 3. The committee discussed the following. Third bullet, clarity whether objections and actions, I'm pretty sure it said objectives rather than objections. So it's just a tiny little typo, but
Right.
proves I actually read the minutes.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll approve the minutes as amended. And do I have a mover for that? Greg? Okay, you're muted, Greg, so I'm just going by your hand. So, and Doug, you're willing there to second that?
Yes, I
Yeah?
second that.
Okay. So as amended, all those in favor? Great. So they're approved. New business. I think Bernadette had sent out to the committee this morning that we've had a resignation from one of our members at large. So I was going to just give John a call and just thank him for his time and all of his work with the committee and whatnot. And then I guess we will proceed if he really wants to resign, then we'll proceed with recruiting for another member. I think it would be great to have a full complement, especially if we're going to have problems getting a quorum and whatnot. So, business arising from the minutes. Does anybody have anything? I think it's covered off a little bit under the next one, recommendation. Oh, not the recommendations, but the status of the recommendations to council. So from the minutes, those motions were sent to council and they were adopted by council, and that the tree and vegetation plan and the community climate adaptation plan will be going, or have been referred to the strategic planning session this fall. So that's good. The recommendation from council, then we'll just go back to number 5, which is that the article from the CBC News be forwarded. And I hope everyone was able to find it. It was originally embedded in the Metro Vancouver board agenda. It was kind of buried in there, but I think it was a very good document. And a lot of it relates to the tree and vegetation plan that we've been working on. Did everyone have a chance to read to go through it?
Yeah, I looked at it.
One. Yeah, you looked at it. And did anybody have any thoughts about the guidelines, the toolkit that was produced, and how it might interface with what we've been doing? Or
It looks like a sort of a useful summary that will be helpful in kind of going forward and implementing the tree management plan. Yeah.
Doug, did you have something too that you wanted to?
Yeah, I also looked at it and it seemed very useful. There seemed to be lots of resources there, but I wasn't sure what council meant when they asked us to review it, if they want us to do something or make some recommendations, or if this is going to, like I see it's going to be on staff's work plan for the fall to work on the tree and vegetation management plan. We've already given feedback on the report from the consultant. Are we being asked for more feedback? I'm quite confused what they want us to do about it. I'm happy to, you know, dig into it and do more work if there's a clear direction what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. I guess Luke would probably be the best person to ask about that because he's been working with Jeremy on the tree and vegetation plan. So I'm not sure exactly where they're at. It had been forwarded to council by a resident in town, and I had thought the information was quite good. And so I had referred it and made the motion to refer. So my thinking behind that was really just if there's information in the toolkit that would help us with our moving forward with the tree and vegetation plan. I thought it was interesting. One of the things that, came up for me was about density versus tree canopy. And that's one of the things that I've seen in a number of new developments where we're going, the OCP dictates a high level of density. And yet, so the tree, it's in contrast to some of the goals and objectives, I think, of the tree and vegetation plan. And the same, I saw the connection with, you know, tree canopy and impervious surfaces as well. You know, so that I think there's a lot going on there that that we might want to think about. Doug, did you?
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of value there, but I guess I'm coming back to the point that I understood that our work was done for the time being on the tree and vegetation management plan. We had provided feedback, and that staff were now going to work on it, possibly with the consultant. So I'm wondering, is it possible then to get clear direction, I guess, from Luke, whether we are being invited to review this document and make comments or recommendations as to how it fits in? I'm concerned that either we're going to give comments that's not particularly welcome or wanted and thereby gum up the works if they say, oh, we've got new feedback from the Environment and Sustainability Committee. We have to slow down and look at that before we do anything. Or on the other hand, they'll say, well, we can't stop and work with this now. We've already gone ahead, and so our time will be wasted. Either way, I'm concerned that unless there's a clear direction from the staff that they want us to do this work. I mean, I'm happy to read it, but I would prefer not to submit anything in writing unless it's clear that it's going to be welcome and useful.
Yeah. Bob, do you have you had any conversations with Luke on this at all, or?
I haven't, but I think, you know, I've been holidaying, he's been holidaying. I think once he gets his feet back on the ground, I'll have another discussion with him about it. I had a good look at the document and was quite pleased, you know, to report that, you know, a lot of what we're doing with street trees, yeah, and have been doing with street trees for a long time, is identified there as far as like the volume of soil required and how to accommodate it with the various hard surfaces. I think your comments about like density and canopy cover and impervious area, it's really going to come down to, you know, what are we thinking about street trees in areas other than our beautification corridors, which is really where we're concentrating on trees and tree planting, and the Green Laneways initiative that we started quite a few years ago. So if the private properties want to be densified as per the OCP, then I think we need to take another look at what we're doing for street trees in those areas and the laneways, you know, to provide to provide the canopy within that density and get the pervious surfaces, you know, back restored, but in a different place. So I you know, we're happily doing the right thing, I think, in say East Village or in places where we're planting new trees, but, you know, our focus is just very much concentrated on those beautification areas where I think, like you say, our scope needs to be expanded. We need to start looking, you know, at the other corridors in town for street trees as we're losing, you know, parts of the remnant forest on private property.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, it is always nice to see when we, when it's reflected that we're on the right track. And as you say, with the street trees, I think certainly our uptown area, that's one of the things that people love about the area is the tree canopy there. And as you come into town too, that's quite the entranceway with all of those oak trees.
Yeah, it's just, they, just for the record, they weren't perfectly planted. They're doing well despite, you know, the effort, the minimal effort was put into them. And I think it's, I think you also need to acknowledge that all of the street trees aren't necessarily popular with all the members of council.
Right.
That's another challenge that we face. So, yeah. You know, the best we can do is try and manage their, you know, their root zones and stuff so they don't cause damage to other infrastructure. Maybe they'll regain their popularity.
Yeah. Yeah, and we also have to be a bit creative, I guess, sometimes on how we deal with it. I have seen, you know, in Vancouver, different mats and things that have been placed over roots. And yeah, there's different, I guess, different solutions on how to approach them. But I thought the plan too had a good, you know, good recommendations for how to replace or how to, you know, I always prefer incentives to penalties, and there were ideas for that as far as giving incentives to people for keeping trees in their development or redevelopment, and also with stormwater. There was the Victoria example where they give credits to people for having less impervious surfaces. You know, I look at the new development there on Beach and the rental properties. It's great to have more rental properties, but there's a lot of impervious surfaces there. When they brought in the topsoil, you know, they didn't have to bring in a whole lot because there's just little squares that they're filling. And I didn't know whether that, I can't remember if that development had the street trees as part of the landscaping plan. But that's an example where, you know, there's, I think the density doesn't really allow for a lot of trees on site. And so the street trees might be a good option. Doug, you still have your hand up. Did you have another comment or Alina?
Oh,
did you?
Sorry, I forgot you have to physically lower it. But, yeah. But one thing I will say, Anne, is that I don't necessarily think that there has to be a big trade-off between density and trees, either on the public land or on private land that's developed. What I've seen happening recently in town is development that has high site coverage, and so there's very few opportunities for trees, but it's not particularly high density. Like when we develop to only one level residential, or these rental buildings, which I think are only two levels, you don't have very high density. You can cover the whole lot and have nowhere left for trees without achieving very high density. City of Vancouver trees achieves much, much higher tree coverage than we do in our new developments and much, much higher levels of density. And they do it by having taller buildings, two or three stories rather than one, in the residential areas, you know, six or eight. And I know that we don't want, a lot of people don't want tall residential, taller than four or five story buildings, but even four or five stories, you can achieve considerable levels of density and still have trees if it's planned that way. So that's been the number one thing that I've tried to communicate that I want to see in a tree and vegetation management plan. We don't necessarily have to abandon the idea of densification in Qualicum Beach, because that is, after all, part of our green strategy too, for, you know, walkable neighborhoods and car pedestrian friendly densification is all part of that. But we shouldn't have to sacrifice having a target of 20 to 30% canopy cover of trees. And so I definitely hope that these thoughts are reflected in what staff is working on with the consultant.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned like 30% canopy, and yet I noticed in the Metro Vancouver one, they're now going for 40% within the urban containment boundary.
Yeah, it sort of depends how you measure. If you include our parks and greenways and so forth, we could easily have 30 or 40%. I kind of meant within the residential neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Excluding, say, the community park, the heritage forest, Grandin Creek, and those kind of areas that bring the numbers up, we should be able to have 20 to 30% just in plain old residential neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, I think you make a good point, because even in the document, it talked about how They were still able to have the tree canopy with the density up until about the 1980s or so. And then after that, there was a decline again, even though the density is continuing, but it's a different approach or a different way of doing things, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alina, did you have anything you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I was kind of going back on what you said a little while back before I brought up this other point about density. I do think the idea of having incentives for keeping trees and planting trees is a really good idea, instead of focusing on punishments, because incentives are just so much more rewarding and makes people view the plan probably in a more positive view if there's something they can get out of it instead of something that they could be taken away from them, right? So if there's an incentive, I think that could make people want to have trees. Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to take a look at how we might go about that, how to make that work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, like, exactly the specifics of what you would have, but you could get creative with it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess until we have maybe some clear direction from Luke as to where the document's at and what kind of input would be appropriate from the committee at this stage, I'm not sure whether the next step is to bring it to a committee of the whole meeting or where we're at with that. So, yeah, I think until we get that clarification, we don't want to spend a lot of time and energy to craft more feedback, if that's that makes sense. I did have a question. This is so unrelated a little bit, but maybe Bob, you'd be able to help on this one. Like in the town sustainability action plan, there are a whole lot of targets and whatnot, and there is like climate emissions planning. And so back in May of 2010, the estimate for the town of Qualicum Beach was 50,000 plus tons of CO2 emissions. And by 2020, we wanted to have that reduced by 33% to 34,000 tons. Do you have any idea where we as the town of Qualicum Beach would be at this date and time?
I'm not sure where we would be. I think one of the major areas that we're focusing on, or we certainly we did back way back when, was on our fleet, because it does have the biggest greenhouse gas generating kind of component to it. And I think, you know, we've dabbled in, you know, electric vehicles or hybrids or things like that. And I think we're waiting for a suitable truck to come to market so that we can start to replace some of the fleet, because that's really what we use the most and what's rambling around town. I know that Daniel has put some money down on the Tesla truck. You like it or not, I think that was the direction, but like the market hasn't really sort of satisfied our needs yet, and I think that's one of the major areas. We've tried other things like trying to go with geothermal heating for the fire hall. That was one of our initiatives and things like that. But they're little gains compared to like a big chunk that we could knock off if we could do something about our fleet.
Right.
I think that's our main area of focus. As far as the numbers, I'd have to talk to Janelle and Luke about, you know, how we're doing against our targets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes they can be lofty goals looking back at what you want to do. And they can be very hard to achieve. So don't really have an answer for you, but
yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I think the fleet is a good start for sure. I know some of the buildings have been, slowly things have been done, like the water at the old community hall, right? The ever flushing toilets and whatnot, right? So there are little things that are being done. Some of the lighting, right? That's going to impact.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but electrical uses in BC are fairly green. So, you know, we can go after greater efficiencies, but, you know, we're not really reducing, you know, a diesel burning electric generating plant somewhere. You know, we're relying on hydro.
Right. I just wonder if the committee might have an interest in visiting the sustainability action plan to see where the town was looking to make changes and advance the town forward as to address climate change and other issues. Have you ever seen the sustainability plan, Greg?
No, I haven't, but I would be interested in taking a look at it. Yeah.
Okay. And Doug, you might be familiar with it. Are you?
I think I am, but it's been a while and I don't have a very good memory for those kind of documents. So I'd be happy to look at it. Again, the question is council contemplating making some amendments to it or revising it? Is our input sought for that reason? I mean, I guess we could just read it as background information so that we're well informed on that, and that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking is because when we go into our strategic planning, I think that is one of the things that I would like to put forward, is that we open up the scope a bit more of this committee to look at the sustainability plan and to make comments and you know, there's lots of expertise, and I think maybe we're underutilizing this committee. So, Alina, have you ever seen the sustainability plan?
No. I don't believe I have, no, but it'd be really nice to look at it.
Yeah, because there are specific targets that are set out by year. So it would be interesting, I think, just to see where we're at with some of those.
Is it available on the public website? Or?
I think it should be, yeah. It is. It actually forms part of our official community plan. And the sustainability plan is referenced throughout the OCP, but then there's an actual action plan document. And I think it was from 2012 to 2017. Is that correct? I think so. But I think it's worth dusting off. Yeah. Bob, you took your mute off. Did you want
to? Well, I was just going to say that I volunteer like Bernie to send out a link to everybody once we put it on the website. It's just it's an easy way for people to grab it.
Perfect. And then maybe when it gets distributed, we could just say for information only at this point, so that the other committee members that aren't here understand that we're just circulating it for information until after the strategic planning, and we might get some direction from council on that. Doug, you had another
comment. I just Googled Town of Qualicum Beach Sustainability Plan, and what I got was this document, Qualicum Beach Sustainability Plan Bylaw Number 590, Schedule Number 4, 25 pages. Is that the document you're thinking of?
Well, there is that. So there is the plan itself. And I think, yes, that's part of it. And then there's an action plan that comes out of it that sets the targets.
Okay.
Verbal updates.
And would it be possible to have you forward those as PDFs to us so that we're all sure that we're looking at the same document rather than different things we find online?
Yeah. I think Bob or Bernadette made a note that we will do that for information purposes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And then there you'll see the carbon targets and whatnot as well.
Good.
Yeah. Well, does anybody have any other things? Let me see where we're at. I've been making notes. So on the recommendations about the toolkit, we'll seek clarification from Luke as to where we're at. The status of the recommendations, we covered that. So those were adopted by council and they were referred to the strategic planning session. So I will advocate to try to make progress in those areas as far as moving the tree and vegetation plan ahead and the adaptation plan, and where the committee might fit into both of those documents. I know the climate adaptation plan, there's a lot of work to do with the community and with different groups within the community to advance that. So there may be a role for the committee as well. And with that, I think we're down to adjournment, unless anyone has any other comments they'd like to make. Nope, seeing none. Okay, I'll move to adjourn at 11. Is it 11? 10:59, 11? 11. Close enough. And the next meeting will be Wednesday, January 5th, according to the agenda. But if there's something that comes out of the strategic plan, we can maybe communicate before then. That seems like a long ways away. Okay. I think that is it, unless anyone has anything else before we sign off.